Tonight, I want us to look at, you know, as we go through life with trials and tribulations, and we see so much bad that happens, and a lot of times we're right in the middle of the bad. We may not be the individuals causing that, but everybody is affected. It doesn't matter what a situation is when you know someone, or even the act of people you don't know. It affects all of us. And where is our hope? To whom do we look? Well, as Christians, we will always say we look to Jesus. We look to God's blessings and God's healing hand. And when you think about that, I wanted us to look at one thing God does, which I'm saying not only one thing, but what God does, you will notice every blessing is at least doubled. And that's what I'm going to go over tonight. Meaning God at the least gives you a double blessing. It's nice when we say someone like, Randy, you've been a blessing to me. And when, you know, and then you said, Marion, you really have been a blessing to me. But but the thing of it is that we can give the blessings to someone else and be a blessing to someone. The focus is God at the least double blesses us. Let's look at some of it. God loves us so much that he gives at the least double blessings to his children. Double blessing number one, God sent his son and his Holy Spirit. He sent his son and his Holy Spirit. In his son, we saw God incarnate. In his son, we recognize Jesus, Lord, our Savior. In his Holy Spirit, we understand as Christians that God the Father sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And in order to make certain that association never ever, and that strength that we get from knowing God is looking after us, that he sent his Holy Spirit to indwell us. Therefore, we understand God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's the love directly from God to his children in whom we are. God sent his Son and his Holy Spirit. He sent Jesus to die a sacrificial death for us. That's the reason Jesus came. Romans 5, 8, and 9. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. Notice at every point where you will read Scripture, and that Scripture focuses on the love of God, we will understand that his love is always demonstrated. We recognize his love. It's a demonstration. It's not just a word, I love you. It is a demonstration of his love. I will bless you as you go through all of the trials and tribulations of life. I want you to know that I love you. And in order for you to recognize that I love you, I will demonstrate my love to you, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But more than, now on that I want you to remember, reading the Scripture and understanding that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, we need to remember that those in the world that do not know Jesus, he died for them too. And we at one point did not recognize that love of Christ. And then when we did, you know, and we understand that he has saved us, what we need to get away from is saying, okay, Lord, thanks for saving me. You can come anytime. But now I look at it and I think, Lord, just one more soul. Lord, there's someone out there, isn't there? And he lets us know that. And that then we understand that when will the end come? It will come when God sees that there's no other on earth that will accept his Son as Lord and Savior. And only God will know that. And only God can see the heart. And people say, well, oh gosh, I've heard some of the pastoral students that would say, well, now, do you call that love? And I think, gosh, guys, you either get in with the Holy Spirit power, or you're not going to make it in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. You won't get that in a book. You won't get that from a professor. You can only have that touch from the Master. And when the Holy Spirit indwells you, and again, you all have heard me say, you know, I worry about folks sometime anymore as to whether or not that preacher or that leader of within a church knows Jesus as Lord and Savior. All this good stuff doing and all of the idea of, oh, yes, and that you go into the motions of praise God, praise God. God said, I demonstrate my love to you. It's not just words. So the praising of the Lord is what we should do. But we should demonstrate our love that Christ is loving through us, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Remember, as a Christian, anytime you're reading scripture and you're saying they're waiting for the wrath of God, the wrath of God will never be used against a Christian. It can never happen. God's wrath, we have passed from that wrath. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, you can have a lot of mean people after you. But now, when you understand the wrath of God is coming, even a fool, and God says, you want to know what a fool is? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But when you see the signs and the wonders, God always giving that individual another chance, another chance, another opportunity, until that individual hardens their heart to the point, and once that happens, that's called sinning against the Holy Spirit. And all sins against the Holy Spirit of any can never be justified. Meaning, sinning against the Holy Spirit, well, it's rejecting Christ. That's what it is. Because, like we started, remember, God met us on the turf he gave us here on earth in the form of his Son, in the human form. His Son comes, and meaning God comes in to die for us, and blesses us with his Holy Spirit to walk through this world. And you'll hear the scripture also, that's stepping on the blood of Christ as though it means nothing. He also sent his Holy Spirit to intercede on our behalf. Now listen to this in Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. You and I did not earn an opportunity to have the Holy Spirit within our heart. We didn't earn anything. God says that I love you, and I'm going to pour out my Spirit in your heart. It's free. All I want to do is express my love to you and watch after you as you go through life, and to be there to help you out through every bad occasion and every good occasion. Now, when people reject that, the ultimate love of God, the Lord says there is no hope for them. There is no, once they sin against the Holy Spirit, and people say, well, yeah, but after they die, you know, there might be a chance. If you do not serve the Lord on earth, you will not be with the Lord in heaven. And I'm not talking about Christians with a bad case of the stupids. I'm talking about individuals who reject God, and plan their death. Have you ever met those guys? Yeah, they plan, okay, I don't worry about Chaplain Vance. I will have time just before I die, and then I'll accept Jesus. I think, gosh, where does all that human reasoning come from? Okay, John 14:26. But the Helper, who is it? The Holy Spirit. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. You remember being in any situation, and all of a sudden, as being a Christian, studying the scripture for the years, all of a sudden a scripture, a word from God pops in your head. And I called us a red flag going up saying there's something wrong with that statement. That's the Holy Spirit. And you know, to be taught by the Holy Spirit. Brother Randy, if you were a spirit getting into my brain to try to straighten me out, that wouldn't work, would it? You'd shut the whole thing down. This thing is broken. This is one computer that goes in a dump. The Holy Spirit works through our lives and blesses us with teaching and training. The only rejection, the only reason that that would stop is when an individual has come under that conviction and for whatever time period, and God says, I will not dwell. My spirit will not dwell on man forever, right? Strive forever. So when God says that, we know that he's got a cut-off time. I don't want to see it cut off. I've never met anybody so vile or vicious that I want to see them go to hell. And I've met some pretty vile people. Now, I didn't say I haven't met them. I didn't want to see them go to prison for the rest of their life. Romans 8:26-27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Folks, what a guideline. Listen to that. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Let me get it down there. The Holy Spirit saying, Father, forgive him because he's not smart enough to know any better. And the Holy Spirit does intercessory prayer. The Holy Spirit listens to our heart. Not only that, remember, as Christians, folks, where we go, Christ goes. As Christians, where we go, Christ goes. When you're walking out and you're going to whatever it is that you know goes against God, God does not leave you at that door. And we realize then, or should within our heart, why did we bring our Lord here? So what do? You get under that conviction. Many will turn to a bottle or a pill or whatever just to get out of the real world and the realization of life. Double blessing number two, God forgives, and you won't see this in anybody else, and forgets. You ever say that? Yeah, I forgive him, but I'm not forgetting what he's done. You know, that's pretty rough convincing the Lord you've forgiven when you say, and you twist that mouth and you're going to, okay. God forgives and first forgiveness, Luke 22:34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. God the Father is watching this. God the Son, on our behalf, through God's Holy Spirit, is asking God to forgive them. 1 John 1:90. Anybody, you all think you might be able to do something like that? God, forgive them because they have my child over there and they're getting ready to kill them. Now, to God, please forgive them for what they're getting ready to do. Can't do it? No, you can't. You're not going to muster that up. And then that's when the Holy Spirit says, okay, let me tell you, Larry Pete, if you attempt to do something on this, and I'm not talking about preventing murder, you have full rights to do that, but if you persist in an attempt to punish someone, I will withdraw my hand of judgment upon that individual. So over the years, we need to learn back off and then watch, because God said he who digs a pit will fall into his own trap. I've never seen it fail. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, folks, I'm talking about the blessings from God that he wants to give us and walk with us and bless us. And how many back away from it? Well, why are you saying they're backing away? If they don't come to it, they're backing away from it. If we do not stand strong in the Word of God, we will fall through our own foolish knowledge. The knowledge of man is nothing. It is the wisdom of God. In the year that's coming up, I know that I have to make a lot of decisions. I know when God calls me to the type of preaching I'm going into for this year. The fear of that is I've seen God do that with me on a couple other occasions. God will pour out his heart for every congregation, and God will give chance after chance after chance. But you know, when people continue, and I mean churches and all, when you're seeing them close right and left, why? Because when a church ceases to be the church, and when does that happen? When the Holy Spirit and the gospel of Christ ceases to be preached. When the Holy Spirit is second to playtime or whatever, then God says the church... You may have one packed with people. You may have a building, it's called a church, packed with people. But if those people reject Christ, it's not the church. You just join another club. Forgets, here we go, Hebrews 10:15-17. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. That's the conviction, remember? For after he had said before... let me back up. Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. You're talking about every day of our life, the Lord continues to save us from ourselves and from the situations of life as he speaks to us. And then some people want to drown out God's voice with whatever method you can find. Drown it out because I'm coming. I don't want to feel bad. You know, I don't want to feel bad. So therefore, I'm just going to back away from that individual. For after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So when you're remembering those, you got to remember this. God says they don't count. They're forgotten by him. Who punishes us more than anyone? We do. We do. We punish ourselves for sins and all. And a lot of times it's an easy, good escape route to go to keep from serving God, which I don't understand, but I know it happens. But we will punish ourselves. Well, I'm not fit to be serving the Lord. Well, you weren't fit when the Lord saved you. You weren't fit when the Lord called you to preach or to teach or to be a part of his family. And all of a sudden now you want to get a guilt complex so you don't have to do anything? Well, Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Folks, every one of us who've accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of our life, we will enter heaven and we will enter the kingdom of God without one blot or one blemish. Well, but Ron, I want you to remember this. The consequences might be there, but when that person returns to the Lord, those consequences a lot of times are eliminated. You will see the Holy Spirit at work. But what we do on that, we have the consequences of our foolishness. So do we continue being foolish and not recognizing it? And in not recognizing that, we're going through this. Oh, wait a minute. The one who saved me and died for me while I was still a sinner lost in that shape, how much more will he bless us when we become a son of God? When he did all of that for us while we were still lost, now we're saved with the case of the stupids. God does not back off, and God will come in and give you some help or deal with even the consequences. Yes, consequences are there. And can you ever erase those foolish things? You can't erase them with people. It doesn't work that way. And only the Lord can give you that power. I mean, why wouldn't anybody want to be a Christian except Jesus? When God loves you, oh gosh, when God loves you, folks, I'm talking about somebody, not just a friendship, not just a best friend or a good friend or a good group. I'm talking about somebody that loves you so much that he only had to die once, because that took care of it. We're the ones that keep questioning, and then sometimes we say, well, I didn't know that. Again, every time I deal with that with some folk, it always deals with, I'm just not fit to do anything. I just, just leave me. I remember when a couple came. She's dead now. But it came up to me, and he said, I want to become a member of Vine Grove, but now let me tell you right up front, I don't want to do anything. I don't intend to do anything, and I'm going to sit right back here. And the next time I see him, he was pulling one of the financial statements, and he said, that's about all I care about is the money. And so he sat there. She goes on and be with the Lord, and I have no idea where he is. Left. I've always thought about dismailing one of the budgets because we hadn't changed in years. Okay. God sanctifies and he satisfies. Woo! Sanctifies and satisfies. Sanctification is setting apart for a sacred purpose. And you're getting into the holy realm. Setting apart for a sacred service, purification from the guilt and the power of sin. Set aside for a sacred purpose. 1 Corinthians 1:2, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Every fellowship of Christians, we're all together. It's one church, all of us. Just right now here on earth, we Christians have a hard time getting along with each other so much. I guess the Lord blessed us with all the, where do you go to church now, Baptist? Well, I go on this corner now because the other 10 corners I didn't like. So I'll go. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us by from slavery. That's what the word redeem means. By from slavery. From every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Zealous for good works. Zealous for... If you want to be a zealot, if you want to be zealous, folks, you don't get zealous for a political party. You don't get zealous for a name of a denomination. You get zealous for good works in Christ. And quit playing all those other games. I'm preaching to the choir here, I know that, but Ephesians 1:4, just as he chose us in him. Now listen, it's very important. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Okay, when I accept the love of Jesus Christ, what we call being saved, when I accept that love and knowing that when I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I can never be blamed. You remember something on this. Satan used to report to God continually. You will read your scripture, you'll see, you read a lot of it in Job. You read the scripture, you'll see, and Satan came into the presence of God and came back again. And Satan would come in from the presence of, to the presence of God. And the scripture says, always bringing accusations against God's family. Job, for instance, always bringing. And listen, God got tired of it. And the war came in and with Michael. You'll hear that Sunday. So when the war comes in from heaven, God declared the war and threw Satan out. And then he said, whoa, planet Earth, he's down in your territory. So therefore, that ended accusations that were even allowed in the presence of God cannot come anymore. And Jesus happens to be our Savior, folks. Not just our Savior for our eternal life. He's our Savior for the human existence. Satisfied. Not only did he sanctify, he satisfies. Psalm 37, verse 18 and 19. The Lord knows the days of the upright. That's called daily walk with Jesus, okay? And their inheritance shall be forever. Then when God promises you the inheritance, you've accepted his son. Folks, that's forever. You don't just have some little type of a mansion that we can figure out in our mind. I never see anything so hot in those mansions that had all that marble. Good gracious, you can go to jail and have the steel same feeling. But, you know, all those marble, and I thought, gosh, no, folks, to be in the presence of the love of God and with him, your mind cannot even imagine. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. Okay? Do you all think maybe that we're in the evil time? Got up in it. It will be the Christian. I don't deny Christ yet, but here's one thing I warn folk. When they say, yeah, if they decide they're going to, you know, I'll stand up for the Lord, then what you'll probably see is an individual sitting down and begging for mercy. I have no idea what the human reflex will be for me in the dying process. The body, why do we see that? The body was created by God never to die. And had it not been for sin, folks, we would never see death. But we would have been different also. God had a special place for us in mind. It's not that Satan slipped in on him and all of that happened in a garden and God didn't know it. God had a plan for us. And this is why that the Christian that was so powerful in heaven. Because even the angels now, we think, oh, gosh, you know, getting to be around an angel. God says that we will become above angels, and we already are, except for this human body, because we chose to accept Christ. And evidently there was a point in heaven where the angels, you know, had the freedom of choice in the group. And Michael, of course, the archangel, ends up being ahead. There were seven archangels in Scripture. And if I'm wrong on that, I'm sure I'll hear from somebody. Seven archangels. And obviously Michael was the leader of them. So there shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Okay. I want you to get your mind away from the food a minute. The time is coming in the evil time. There will be such a famine, starvation for the Word of God. There will be such a hunger to hear the truth of God. And people will look, and God's man will have been silenced. Why and when and how, I haven't the slightest idea. But let me tell you, when the Lord speaks, you can take that to the holy bank of God.